Bibles with us tonight into St. John chapter number 1. St. John chapter 1. Glad Paula and Gary made it back safe from New York. Upstate New York. Seneca Falls, wasn't it? Huh. But glad folks traveling. Remember those that are traveling. God would just watch over and keep them while they're going. If you found 1 John chapter number 1, we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. Read down to verse number 5, then we're going to jump down to verse 10 and read down to verse number 14. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Now jump down to verse number 10. "He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Father, tonight we just ask You to bless Your Word as it's been read. We just ask You, Father, to bless it now as we feebly try to share the thought, God, that You've given unto us. And Lord, help us to receive Your Word in our hearts and our lives with gladness and joy. And let it just make a change, a profound change, a positive change, a definite change in each and every heart. For we all need, Lord, to be drawn closer to You. There's not a one of us, God, that doesn't have something that needs a change made in our lives. Father, for we've not yet reached that place, Father, of perfection. We've not yet become just like You, Father, but we're working on it. So help us now, God, just to let Your Word move in our hearts and lives and do the work that only it can do unto us. We praise You in Jesus' name. We say amen. I want to preach to you tonight on this thought, and it is Christmas, so I'm trying to, you know, just focus and think about Christmas and asking God to direct me. But I got this thought tonight on missing Christmas. So many people miss what Christmas is all about. Amen. They miss the very fact that Christmas is more than just trees and lights and candles and signs and running around and saying Merry Christmas. Christmas is about God coming into this world and giving Himself unto this world that He might deliver this world from the curse of sin. See, Jesus, we focus on a baby born in a manger, but we forget that it was God. Amen. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. As the choir was practicing for the cantata, and they sang that song, "Mary, Did You Know?" One part in that song says, "When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God." Amen. We fail to grasp that. We miss that because we get all caught up in everything else. That's why I get so frustrated with Christmas so many times. I think we just miss the purpose and the meaning of Christmas. And it gets to be who can outdo who. Amen? You see the Christmas lights, and the people do the lights, and somebody does lights, and then somebody tries to outdo their lights, and then somebody tries to outdo their lights, and the next thing you know, the whole neighborhood can't sleep at night because they're blinded by all the light. I like the picture I seen of the house, the house that's all done up in the lights, and I mean, you couldn't put another light on the house anywhere, I don't think, and the next door neighbor just had a little sign that pointed over and said, "Ditto." Amen. That's my favorite one. Amen. That's me. But we miss Christmas, and so many people miss Christmas because they're so wrapped up in everything else. And I want to preach to you tonight on just a few minutes of missing Christmas. And, you know, this message is a message for the church. We get so wrapped up in programs, and we get so wrapped up in this and that that has to be done this time of year, that if we're not careful, the church can miss Christmas. Amen? We can miss the focus, and we can miss the purpose. I'm not sure I like this Christmas program stuff if everybody's got to leave after church. I'm serious. You know, I'm not being, but some of the kids can come, but they got to get home early. They got to come. They got to leave. They got to go home. You know, and are we missing the point of Christmas?
Amen.
Amen. And I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. I'm just saying, you know, it's not just here. And, you know, we focus on so many things, and we focus on so many aspects of what's going on, that it's hard to keep focused on Christmas. You know, if we're losing focus on the most important part of Christmas because of things, then we've got a problem. See, they had this problem back in Jesus' day. In Luke chapter 2, it says, "And so it was," in verses 2 to 2, chapter 2, verses 6 to 7, "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." You see, there was too big a crowd. There were so many things crowded in. So much crowded in to the inn that the innkeeper couldn't let Jesus in. That's what I'm trying to say. When we allow things in the church and we allow things in our life to get us so crowded that Jesus gets pushed to the side, and Jesus gets pushed out because of the program, or Jesus gets pushed out because of the party, or Jesus gets pushed out because of the family event, or Jesus gets pushed out because of something else, we have missed the very purpose and the very reason of Christmas. Amen. And I'm not trying to say somebody has done anything wrong. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying we're missing Christmas. We're missing the blessedness. Just think of what would have happened that night if that innkeeper had looked out there and had seen that pregnant woman and seen that any time she could deliver this child, and her husband was telling him, "Well, my wife's about ready to deliver this child. Can't you find a place?" I'm sure if he really wanted to, he could have found some room. Amen. But you know what happens? We're the same way. Our lives get so crowded. Amen. Our lives get so busy and so crowded that we can't find room for Jesus. I might as well just shut my Bible and go home. I say I done made everybody mad already tonight. Everybody's done getting upset. Is what I'm preaching truth?
Amen.
Amen. Is anybody here not got so many things crowded in your life that sometimes we've crowded Jesus right out? Anybody here at Christmas not got things so crowded in your life that Jesus isn't as important as he needs to be? And let me just say this. I'm not saying, and maybe I shouldn't have said something about people having to leave because of the program. What I was trying to say about the program is we get so wrapped up in programs, and parents, "Well, you can take my kid, but you can't keep them. They got to come back. They got to be home by a certain time, and they got to this and that." And we're trying to accommodate everybody. We're trying to do it. We're crowding so many things. You understand the point? You understand where we're going with this? This is a message for the church tonight.
Amen.
Amen. This is a message for us tonight. Amen. We're crowding so many things. I see some people on the internet, on Facebook, that I'm about ready to unfriend because I get so tired of them being so critical about everything that everybody preaches. And they once say, "Well, there's no place where the Bible says to ask Jesus in your heart." Well, maybe there's no verse that says ask Jesus in your heart, but the Bible is very plain that he wants to come into your heart. He wants to dwell in your heart. And you know what? He don't want to live in your heart with a bunch of trash. Amen. He don't want to live in your heart with a bunch of garbage. He don't want to live in your heart with a bunch of other things that are just crowding him out. And it's just like a kid that has all these toys in the toy box. He has so many toys in the toy box, he don't know what he has. And he has to have this, and he has to have that, and he has to have this, and he has to have that. And pretty soon they're all down in the bottom of the toy box, and he don't even know he has them anymore. And that's the way we get with Jesus. Amen. He wants to come into our heart, but he don't want to be that toy that shoved all the way down in the bottom of the toy box that we forget about, but we just had to have it when we had to have it. And now we got it, we don't even play with it. We don't even recognize that it's there. In Ephesians chapter 3, listen to what it says. Listen to what it says, chapter 3, verses 16 and 19. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now, first, understand this, that this is a great blessing. Amen? He will grant you according to the riches of his glory. Amen? This isn't just something that is willy-nilly. This isn't just another toy you've seen in the checkout aisle that you just had to have. Amen? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 17 says that Christ may dwell. He wants to dwell in your heart. But in verse 18, it says we need to comprehend just how big he really is. Amen? We can't just throw him in the bottom of the toy box. We can't just throw him in the back of our heart, in the back of our life. Because in verse 19, it says, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. I want you to know something tonight. We got to quit crowding Jesus out of our lives. We need to quit crowding him out of our church. We need to quit crowding him out of our families. We need to quit crowding him out of the job. We need to quit crowding him out every place else. We can fill everything up with everything else. But it seems that we miss out on Jesus. You know what we miss out? We miss out on his blessings. Amen. We miss out on, man, there's nothing like when the Holy Spirit gets to moving in a service and gets to coming through a service and he gets to, man, I didn't want to see the service end this morning. Amen. God got a hold of a young lady and got to work and praise God. Amen. It got sweet. Amen. But we're so busy, we got to go on, or folks get aggravated. And I hear about it. How long the service lasted, how long the service goes on. Why is that? Because we don't come in wanting God to have his way. We don't come in wanting God's fullness, because our lives are so crowded with everything else. Amen. Just think of what a blessing it would have been. Just think of what advertising that innkeeper could have had. Hey, come and stay. Come and stay where the Messiah was born. Amen. Come and stay where the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings was born. For a special fee, you can even have the room. Amen. Just think of all the bragging rights he would have had. Just think of what bragging rights we got when we got Jesus in our heart and our life. Amen. Saved, redeemed. Amen. Sanctified. Justified. Amen. We got all kinds of things that we can brag on Jesus about in our lives, but we got to make room for him. We crowd him right on out. Amen? We relegate him to the back. Or sometimes we don't even want to let him in at all. Amen? Am I right? Amen? And then look at the folks in Bethlehem. Look, they missed Christmas. Amen. They missed Christmas. Look at what happened. On down a few more verses there in chapter 2 in Luke. It says in verses 16 and 18. It says, "And they came with haste." This is the shepherds. "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." Man, they didn't believe it. Man, I wonder what these shepherds are talking about. They heard the word. They heard the truth. They heard the good news. Jesus was born. Jesus has come. Jesus is here. The Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. He was born over here in the stable. They wrapped him in swaddling clothes. They've laid him in a manger because there was no room in the inn. The innkeeper was too busy. He was too crowded. And the angels have come and told us. God has let us know that the Savior of the world was born tonight. Yeah. And my lands, they run from all over Judea when Caesar said, amen? Why was Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem? Because they left Nazareth because Caesar said. If King Herod had said, they'd jump right to it. Amen? If the high priest had said, amen, they would follow right along with what he said. But they wouldn't believe those whom God had told and God had provided as witnesses to what had happened that night. Amen. You know why we miss the blessing of Christmas in our church? Because we read the word. Rick needs that. Jim needs that. Jimmy needs that. What about me? Amen. The preacher preach. Man, did you hear the preacher preach? Man, sister so-and-so needs that. Amen. Did you hear what the preacher preach? Man, I tell you what, that old Sunday school teacher needs that. Did you hear what the preacher preached? I bet this one needs that. I bet that family could use that. This one could use that. And that one could use that. And we fail to hear what God is saying to us every time the word is opened and you read it. Every time the word is preached and you hear it, it's a message for you. It's not for somebody else. Amen. And God's real specific about what we do. In Luke chapter 8, verse 18, Jesus said, "Take heed, therefore, how ye hear." Man, you always want to hear it when it's for somebody else. Amen? We always want to hear it when it pertains to somebody else's problems and somebody else's messed up and screwed up life. Amen. But man, when it's ours, we close our ears. When it's our sin, when it's our problem, when it's our issue that we need to deal with, we don't want to quite hear it that way, do we? Jesus said, "Take heed how." You know what that's telling me? That sometimes we're not in tune with the Holy Spirit like we need to be. Amen? We don't come to service and, "Lord, speak to me. Lord, teach me. Lord, speak to Mary. Lord, speak to Joanne. Lord, speak to Danae. Lord, speak to Paula. Lord, let's speak to some, this one, that one." We need to be careful how we hear. Because the message is for me. Amen. Amen. The message is for me. And I need to take heed. I need to be careful. I need to pay attention. I need to make sure that I'm hearing what God wants me to hear. Amen. And what He wants me to hear is for me. It's not for Jim. Amen. What He wants me to hear is for me. It's not for my wife. Amen. Jesus said, take heed on how you hear. But that's not all the Word has to say about what we hear. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, it says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders, and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. You know, we need to be careful how we hear, but we need to be careful with what we do, with what we do hear. Amen. How many times has God spoke to you through the preacher? God spoke to you maybe going down the road listening to somebody on the radio, a teacher. I listen to Nancy Lee DeMoss. When I'm mowing grass or I'm out riding, I'd rather listen to her than some of the garbage that's on the rest of the radio. Amen. I'm out mowing. I can get 94.5 in and out. It's either that or the country and western station. And she teaches some great things. You know? And I don't care if it is woman. She's not usurping authority over me. Amen. She's just teaching on the radio. She don't know I'm listening to her. Amen. She probably could care less. But I'm listening. And I'm hearing. Amen. I'm reading the word and it speaks to me. I'm hearing. Amen. And Jesus says, be careful how we hear. But then he tells us that we need to take heed on what we do with what we do here. Amen. You see, the people in Bethlehem, they missed the blessing of Christmas. Because when the shepherds told them what happened, they wondered at it. They could care less, yeah. We're too busy with the census thing. Man, we got the census deal going on. We got to find a place to stay. I had to bring my whole family down here to get them registered to pay my taxes, and there ain't no place to stay. We're in the same boat that kid over there in the manger is. My lands, at least he's got a barn to sleep in. We had to sleep out in the open last night. Can you hear it? Don't really care. You know how many... There's statistics that are printed, and I see them all the time. The number of pastors that are dropping out of the pastorate because they get discouraged. Because you preach about sin, you preach about sin, you preach about sin, and all you hear is complaining because you preach about sin. Preach about Christ crucified. Yeah, we've heard that before. And it's an astounding number. If things keep going at the rate that they're going, you're going to see more and more and more churches closing their doors because fewer and fewer and fewer young men will surrender to the call for the ministry. Because it's a very rewarding thing, but it's a frustrating. You don't know how many times people have come to me and said, I wish I would have listened. I wished I would have listened to you, Pastor. Why didn't you? Well, we had this going on and we had that going on. Take heed how you hear. Mm-hmm. But take heed with what you do, with what you do hear. Amen. Because if you disregard, or if you take for granted, or if you just relegate the word to some distant place in your life, you'll miss the blessings that God has for you in His Word. There's great blessings in there. There's great treasures in there. The fullness of the glory of God is in there. And it's yours to be experienced. It's yours to be, just like those people in Bethlehem, they could have went to where Mary and Joseph were, and they could have seen the Christ child. But they just wandered and went their own way. You ever hand somebody a track and they just look at it, picture on the ground? Yeah, that's about the way it was. What's this? Wondered. Chucked to the side. That's the way we get if we're not careful. That's the way even Christians get. We get so calloused. We get so accustomed to hearing the preaching that we don't come anticipating God to do anything. We just, let's get it over with. You know? It's just like after a while, it's like, you know, a kid that gets to the point where when it gets so old, I reckon, and, you know, and knows that the parents are going to give it a whipping or give it a spanking, and they've got so callous they just come to the place, well, let's just get it over with. Mm-hmm. Amen? It really has no more effect. Mm-hmm. It don't change them. It don't make no difference. It's just get it over with. And we get that way with God's Word sometimes. Let's just get it over with. And it's not about who the preacher is. You know, I blame myself a lot of times, and I know I'm not the most dynamic and the greatest preacher, but, you know, when you listen to evangelists that come by and they preach these messages that stir your heart, just be reminded that they preach the same message.
Right.
They preach the same message over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you've got a script that you follow and you follow it, pretty soon you're pretty good at it.
Yeah.
Pretty good, you know how to manipulate it. Pretty soon you know how to use it. Don't mean it's not a great message. But don't look down on someone who has to preach something new and fresh every time they stand in the pulpit.
Amen.
Something that's different every time you stand in the pulpit. And I know I don't have the greatest delivery, but I've listened to men, I've told you before, men like Don Farmer.
Amen.
Little Poindexter looking fellow, wears his glasses down here. And he talks just about like this. Mm-hmm. And this is the way he does the whole service. And that man will absolutely mesmerize you.
Amen.
I mean, you'll focus, lock in on him, and he will just mm-hmm. utterly mesmerize you.
Amen.
And then I've heard men like Dr. Craig Edwards preach some of the most astounding things and preaches it dynamically. I mean, all types of preaching. I love it all. I love it all. But I'm listening to the preaching. I'm listening to the Word. And it's about the Word. It's not about the conduit. It's not about the messenger. It's the message that transforms. You see, the innkeeper, he missed Christmas because he was too crowded. The town of Bethlehem, They missed Christmas because they were too casual with what they heard. And then Herod, he missed Christmas. Look in Matthew chapter 2, verse 16. It says, "Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Herod was a narcissist, and he was too narcissistic to allow anyone else to be known as the king of the Jews, to be known as the Messiah, to be known as the deliverer of Israel. He wasn't about to let that happen, and he was going to make sure that it didn't happen, and he was going to take control of the situation, and there was not going to be anyone else that was going to have any power and any authority, any titles that were greater than his. See, he was a narcissist and a manipulator. He tried to con the wise men. Oh man, you go find him. You come back and let me know where he's at. Yeah, I want to go worship him too. Yeah, sure he did. Amen. And when he found out that they got wise to him, he just figured, well, I couldn't manipulate the situation that way and just kill the one child. So I'll do it another way. I'll just kill all the children. And that's what he did. But you know, we're so very much like King Herod. You say, what are you talking about? We don't want to surrender. Amen? We don't want to surrender. That's why it's so quiet in here tonight. We don't want to surrender. We don't want to let God have full control. We don't want to let God have full autonomy. We don't want to let God have full reign in our hearts and in our lives. And even when we do set him on the throne of our heart, we're constantly at odds. We're constantly battling, constantly fighting, constantly trying to manipulate, constantly trying to find a loophole in the Word. Amen. When it's something that we want. When it's something we find important. I like one I hear all the time, and I tell people it's hogwash, and you've heard me say it. Well, you know, I'm going to this. And there's nothing. If you want to go to your family thing, go to your family thing. If your kid's in the program, go to the program. You know? Man, Elena got a program Wednesday night. You know? The whole family, y'all going? Probably, yeah. See? Yeah. Yeah. If your kids got a, yeah, in the program. But don't try to manipulate and figure like you got to work something out. God knows you got a little one in the program.
Amen.
Amen. And, you know, the school just sets their programs up. They don't worry about it. If they had it on Thursday night, there's another church down the road that has their midweek service on a Thursday night. If they had it on Tuesday night, there's another church. That, you know, that it's going to interfere with somebody one way or the other.
That's right.
You know, but don't come to me. Well, you know, God instituted the family before the church. I've heard that. Makes me sick. Makes me sick. Don't try to manipulate and twist and turn things and find loopholes. Don't be like Herod was. Just allow Christ to sit on the throne of your heart. Just acknowledge him for who he is and just accept him for who he is. Just allow him in and you know what? He'll give you perfect peace to go to your kid's thing.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But he don't expect you to keep finding things. Hey, let's see, next Wednesday night is the night after the play, and we ought to stay home and celebrate because she done such a good job at the program the other night. Amen. Some people are like that. They'll find more reasons not to. Amen. Herod tried to manipulate. Herod tried to move because he didn't want to allow the rightful king, amen, of Israel to take his place. In Romans chapter 8, it says, In verse 13 says, "For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." If you are led by the Spirit, you know how you're led by the Spirit? You allow Him to have reign. You allow Him to have rule. You allow Him to have control. You allow Him to take over. Amen? He controls your thought process. He controls your actions and the things that you do. He's the one that controls the tongue. Amen? He's the one that controls what comes out of the lip. He's the one that controls when you set time aside to study the Word and to preach the Word. He's the one that controls your attitude when you come into the house of God to hear the preaching of the Word. Even though you know the preacher, he is always preaching at you. You know, Sunday night is for you.
Amen?
Amen? Sunday night is for you. And that's so you can grow. So that you can be strengthened. So that you can go forth and do what's pleasing unto God. But the only way to do that is to relinquish control. Herod missed Christmas because he wouldn't surrender to the rightful king. Bethlehem missed Christmas because they took the word that God had sent to them. The shepherds seen the Christ child. The shepherds heard the angel of the Lord. Amen. The shepherds heard the heavenly host. And they told all these things. And they just wondered at it and went on. Took it too casual. The innkeeper, he was just too crowded. There's just no room for Jesus. He missed it. Are you like those tonight? You like one of those tonight in some aspect of your life? You got too many things going on, and Jesus is taking the back seat. So we stand tonight, heads bowed, eyes closed.